From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In just a few minutes, you'll hear a message from God's Word brought by Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, he continues a message entitled, Christ in the Valley of Our Griefs. In Mark chapter 9, the Lord Jesus, descending from the Mount of Transfiguration, comes upon a sad scene. The disciples had failed in their attempts to cast a demon out of a young boy. In response to the distraught father's plea, Christ casts out the demon. The disciples don't understand. Why could not we cast him out? Our Lord's answer, because of your unbelief, underscores the truth that Christ's presence and power are known only by those who believe him and rely on his power. First, today's hot topic. Dr. Cairns reports that church may be a marital asset.
In the first case of its kind, a wife of a New York State pastor who is suing for divorce has asked the courts to treat his church as a personal asset. She wants her share of the net worth of the church when her divorce comes through. She says her husband put $50,000 of their savings into the church to get it going. She alleges that he used the church funds as his personal piggy bank, that he sets his own salary, and that he has misused church tithes and other funds, even paying his mistress out of them to the tune of either $750 per week or $750 per month. The pastor has said that he's merely an employee of the church who receives a salary for his services, and that therefore the church cannot be treated as a marital asset. However, a New York Supreme Court justice has agreed to hear his wife's case and has asked for the value of the church to be appraised. This is a scary development. Let me state categorically, a church and its finances cannot be a personal or marital asset. For a New York court to consider making a church an asset to be divided in a divorce settlement is a scandalous innovation, a departure from legal precedent, and a threat to the rights of every local congregation. If a court were to allow this crazy claim, what may be next? Who knows? I have sympathy with a woman whose preacher husband has kept a mistress. Such a man should be drummed out of the ministry and never allowed to return to it. I can understand her desire to make sure she receives her fair share of the community property and wealth built up over 31 years of marriage. But she's wrong to try to make a local church a marital asset. If her husband has been guilty of all that she alleges, there are laws under which he should be dealt with. For example, if he invested her money in starting up the church without her knowledge or consent, a court may hold him responsible and keep this in view in splitting the remaining assets. If he has misused church funds, the police and courts have the power to investigate and to charge him. If he's guilty, I would hope that he would be made to face the full rigor of the law. But to make his church a marital asset is preposterous and it's dangerous. To give the courts the right to filch the giving of a congregation and distribute it in ways for which it was never intended is an unwarranted intrusion by the state into the church. The separation of church and state works both ways. This New York case threatens to overthrow one aspect of that separation. Perhaps this is just another of America's seemingly endless trivial lawsuits. I hope so, and I hope that the judge looking at it will dismiss it. I fear that it may also be a trial balloon, or a testing of the waters, or however you want to describe an attempt to find out just how far opponents of the rights of churches and Christians can push their agenda. We need to send the message loud and clear. Keep the state out of the business of the church. Keep its greedy hands off the money that people sacrificially give for the ministry of their churches.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak Quarterly Magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the life of the Apostle Peter. The articles will be both informative and inspirational. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website. website this week.
Of the parent and the child is so poignant and so pointed. I can do nothing. My heart is broken. My mind has given up. I can no longer even think straight. I have turned to every available place for an answer, and there is none. What can I do? Bring him to Jesus. See the love of Christ. Working with wisdom, when he first came, Jesus wasn't there. Have you ever felt that? Have you ever had that experience? You come with your problem, you come with your family, you come with your hurt, you come with your grief, you come with your need, you rush to bring it to Jesus and you can't find him. There's nothing new in that, you know. The Old Testament prophets spoke of the very same thing. Time forbids that I pursue the line. But there's that time when we seek, and he's not there when we expect to find him. That's the trial of our faith. It's hard to bear, but it's important to bear. Job found this, did he not? Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Oh, that I could get to meet with him. Oh, that I could but really touch the Lord. That's where this father was. Then Jesus came. with what love, what wisdom, what compassion the Lord Jesus dealt with him. He heard his cry. He led him out in the wisest way to the expression of his faith, and yet to the expression of his failure and of his own weakness. And then he did the work. J.C. Ryle, the great expositor of the Gospels, if I may put a plug in for a set of books, I would still say, I've said this many times, but I'll say it again, for every family, if you don't possess J.C. Ryle's expository thoughts from the Gospels, make sure you buy them. You could not do better than make that your family reading. You could not do better than to get those volumes and just read the scriptures and read the bishop's comments on them. There'll be little to disagree with, and there'll be much to move your heart. Bless your home and your family. But Bishop Ryle makes the point. He was speaking about 19th century England. It's certainly true in America today, given the far greater things that Satan is using in our nation, the far worse examples of satanic fury. He's saying there's many a father whose son is in worse condition than this. And he makes the insightful comment how Satan is at work, especially to get a grip of our young people. The effort that he's making, the power that he's putting forth, the satanic subtlety that he's exercising to grip young people. And what a grip he gets on them while they're still children. What are you to do? Yes, protect them all you can. Yes, keep out of your home all those hellish influences that are so freely let into too many homes. But most of all, bring them to Jesus. For thank God, here you see the glory of his love, and then the glory of his power. For there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Never let us make the mistake that the Syrians once made. You'll read of it in 1 Kings 20, verse 28. They said, he's the Lord, the Lord is the God of the hills, but he's not the God of the valleys. On that occasion, the Lord proved that he is Jehovah at all times and in all places. Destroyed the Syrians in the plain or the valley below, just as he had done in the hilly regions. That's what he'll do for you and me. He is the same in the valley as in the Mount of Glory. And what he's doing now is that which is the very substance of the glory with which he appeared on the mount, the glory of his mediatorial success that he will manifest to heaven, earth, and hell for all eternity. Then the final thing I'll say is this. That the Lord Jesus promises us the experience of this grace and this power on the condition that we believe. In other words, when he sets forth in these passages of Scripture his glory and then his grace and his power, he's not doing it in order that we may just have points to ponder, or that we may have little homiletical points for a preacher to sound good in setting forth, or that we may have some theological discussion. That's one of the curses of the church that we have in the day in which we have arrived. We take the greatest things of God and we reduce them to points of discussion. Man, these are things to be experienced. The old Scottish dictum about Reformed religion, it is better felt than telt. If all we can do is talk about grace, then we know nothing about grace. This is to be experienced. This is to be felt. This is for us to enjoy in our own personal lives. But if we're going to experience the glory of divine grace, then it must be by faith. If we're going to have the power of God delivering us or using us to deliver others, it can only be as we exercise faith in Him. Notice the Lord Jesus Christ dealing with the father of this demoniac boy. He says, if thou canst believe. If thou canst believe. That's still true, you know. Now, we'll see in a moment what something of what this faith is. This is not make-belief. It's not forced belief. It's not talked-up feelings of belief. This is genuine faith he's talking about. After all, he was talking about a man and talking to a man who was actually meeting with Christ. He was actually spending time in the presence of Christ. He had actually come deliberately seeking Jesus. This is not some charismatic fantasy saying to a world that has no thought of Christ, no love for Christ, no yearning for Christ. If you can make yourself believe, this is not some of this stupidity of getting yourself into some euphoric condition. No, this is something that comes out of a personal, genuine meeting with Christ. And he's saying, if you can believe, that's how you experience the grace of God. Everything in the Christian life is by faith. We live by faith, not by sight. Notice also how he dealt with his disciples. We have read from Matthew 17 because there some of the words that he said are recorded, whereas they're not recorded by Mark. He gives them a lesson upon the lack of faith. This is the reason for your spiritual impotence. This is the reason you're not experiencing the grace and the glory and the power of Christ. Why? Because of your unbelief. Now, if there's one thing in the New Testament that makes me, and I trust makes you, bow your head in utter shame, it's the unbelief of believers. These were believers, but they were full of unbelief. That's our trouble. How does it come about? Well, notice what he said later. This kind cometh not forth but by prayer and fasting. I may come back to that in a moment, but get what he's saying. He had been gone. Not just for a few hours. Remember I pointed out it was a full day's journey to get to the Mount of Transfiguration up to where it was. It was a full day's journey back and whatever time they spent there. And I don't know how long exactly, therefore, they were alone without Christ, physically in their presence. But I wonder, is the Lord Jesus saying that the time I was gone, you were not spending in prayer. You were not seeking God. You were living on the fumes of a past experience. You were living even in the words of an empty orthodoxy. You had the right words, you had the right formulas, you had the right doctrine, you had the right this, the right that, but you were not living in an up-to-date, personal praying experience of God. And I want to tell you, my friend, that's the sad situation of many a Christian church and many a Christian minister and many an ordinary believer coming to church, coming and going. My, what do we know of meeting with God? What do we know about it?
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.